Good morning. Our scripture reading will be coming from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 33, and I'd be grateful if you'd follow along with me. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess.
What is your recipe for success? And we're bombarded with commercials. I think of the commercials that they're talking with someone and they're walking out of the office and there's this green pathway they're following. Their retirement portfolio and the investments that they make as a means of success, something to carry them over when they retire from the chores of this life, in the business world or in the working world. Is our recipe for success getting ahead in the company that we work for? Maybe even it's our own company. Do we have aspirations to expand and grow? You know, ironically, this morning, as we were coming to church, Kaylin had asked some questions of Vicki and I. Are we rich? And in a nutshell, our answer was, yes, we are. But we're rich in something other than possessions. We went on to explain that we keep things until they break, not because they've gone out of style. That's obvious by the TV that we gave up here back after the beginning of the year. And my back still regrets that day that I carried it to the dump. To say it was a dinosaur, the only thing lacking was the teeth. But what about our spiritual recipe for success? Do we have a plan for that? You know, the scripture reading that John had read out of Deuteronomy, God is trying to get Israel to get that recipe and to follow the recipe that he has set forth. I want to set the stage because we're actually going to go into Deuteronomy chapter 4. But Israel had been in the wilderness 40 years. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 3 tells us that it was 40 years 11 months since they had left Egypt. It wasn't long before they were on the eastern side of the Jordan. They haven't crossed over into the promised land yet. It was here that Moses spoke to them. And now you can imagine that Moses kind of felt, this is the end. He knew it was. He knew he was not going to set foot on the other side. But it didn't stop Moses from setting up to the people, I want to show you and tell you how you can succeed. I want to give you the recipe for success. And he reminded them of several things. He reminded them of what God had done for his people in the past and how the Israelites treated God in the wilderness. This is what took them so long to get there. And, of course, what their duties to God would be once they were living in the land of Canaan. We don't live in the days of Moses. We don't live under Moses' law. And yet when we look in these verses and we look at the message that Moses gave to the Israelites, we can find in there a number of lessons that are beneficial to us. For Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we have these things here for us. And if we don't listen, if we don't heed, if we don't look and examine these things, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out. I want to focus our attention this morning on a few concepts that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 4 in the first 9 verses. I submit to you that these are principles for success, regardless of the generation that we live in. They have the potential in these verses to help us succeed, not in the physical world, but in our spiritual world. In the very first verse of Deuteronomy 4, Moses' message for Israel began with these words. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live. Hearken, some versions have the word listen, and that's what I want to focus on, listen. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what a person's circumstances are in life. The fundamental key to success is listen. James 1 and verse 19 tells us that we are to be slow to speak and swift to hear. We have to listen. Now, we used it in the class this morning. If someone says something to you that you don't want to hear, what is your first inclination? To shut off the hearing. I kind of picture in my mind a Charlie Brown cartoon when an adult talks. Because all it says is blah, 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 blah. You don't hear any words. Is that what our children are really hearing? If we're not willing to listen to what God has to say, how are we going to succeed? If we fail to listen, the failure rate of any opportunity to go to heaven is 100%. 100%. The next instruction that Moses gave was to leave God's word alone. He says in verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Does that look like the southern end of the Saluda River to you? If any of you ever cross the bridge going over either into Piedmont or into Pelzer and you look over at the Saluda River going in there, what do you usually see? Mud. This is not a muddy river. This is crystal clear. There isn't a gray area in these things. We are to leave God's word alone. We're not to tamper. We're not to alter it. The God of all wisdom knows exactly what we need. And His instructions are perfect. But when you got to the very last verse in the book of Revelation, I haven't found anywhere in these things that said God was going to come back and make some changes. We had some folks that tried it. We had the angel Moroni meet with John Smith to give the New Testament of Jesus Christ. God said He wasn't going to do that. First Corinthians 3 and verses 19 and 20. Paul sheds light into these kind of people. That for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their craftiness, and again the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Education is a wonderful thing. Education allows us to expand our horizons in this world. It gives us a better understanding. But in education, because we think we are intelligent, that we can ever compete with the intelligence of God. We hold men who discovered DNA. We hold men who discovered the building blocks of life in high esteem. But all they did was just open up what God had already invented. We're just finding these things out. 50, 100 years ago, getting diagnosed with cancer was a sure death sentence. There was no cure. Today, we're finding more and more people surviving the very cancers that would have taken the lives. I know there are some cancers that spread so rapidly by the time you get the symptoms, it's typically too late to do anything. But we're building and we're going into finding these things, and we hold these men that discover these things in high esteem. But no cure for a physical disease is going to ensure you a home in heaven. You'll prolong your days here. Hopefully you will see the light and you will get that success that you're looking for. We see it in our services in the Lord's church. We've seen certain things diminish in the churches around the world since the second and third century got things started. But the only thing that we can say we have in common with all the churches in the world is the contribution. It's amazing that even they want your money. We've set the other things aside because man has decided they're not all that important. But we've taken away. We've taken away. And after reminding Israel of the disobedience that led some to destruction, you remember the spies that went into the land, the 10 spies that led the multitude to be afraid and threaten Moses and Aaron because of the might and the power that they saw in the land of Canaan. Regardless of them coming back with vines of grapes that it took two men to carry on poles, and pomegranates and all the bounty of the land of Canaan. And it caused that generation to wander in the wilderness till they died. And Moses told him here in verse 4, "But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive every one of you this day." Who was that? Moses, Caleb, Joshua, their families. Everyone else perished in the wilderness. That was over the age of 20. Cleaving is one of those words in which it has multiple meanings. One meaning is to separate, as if you're cleaving meat, and that proverbial meat cleaver that always seems to show up in the horror movies. Cleave in this verse is an intransitive verse, and it is not used with an object to complete its meaning. So the word cleave here means to hold fast to, cling to, just as God told Adam and Eve to cleave to one another, to leave father and mother. In Acts 11, verse 23, when Barnabas arrived in Antioch in Syria to work with the brethren there, he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Many of us are striving to learn God's Word better. We are trying to hold on to those things. We're opening maybe our Bibles a little bit more. Maybe we're trying to seek that deeper meaning. We're trying to remain active in the work and trying maybe to be a little more active. But there's that word. But have we developed our heart to the point that we are really cleaving to Him? That means to cleave to Him integrates our whole life. Not just our life here, not just maybe the life in our own homes, but the life when we're out in the world. All of the studying, all of the activity in the world is useless unless we are really cleaving to the One who makes it all possible. Many years ago when we were in North Dakota, we had a family. Can't think of the name, Petersburg, North Dakota. That word has escaped me, that town. It's about 60 miles from Grand Forks west. This family would drive every Sunday. And it was a mother and father, and I think they had three children and their mother-in-law. And they would drive the 60 miles one way. They would stay for Bible class and services, and then they would stay in town all day so that they wouldn't have to drive home and then come back. They'd be there Sunday evening. And one night, I was at home and I got a phone call from a young man. And he was concerned because I'm not exactly sure what denomination they came out of, but other family members were pressuring him because he was a very successful businessman and salesman. And they were condemning him for his success. I tried to remind him of Job, and how that man of God was a very rich man, and now he devoted his life to God. Because of that, he also prospered. Unfortunately, family got the better of that family at one time, and they fell away. But all of our study, all of our activities are useless if God's Word is not the foundation of our life. One who truly cleaves to God is the one that cleaves to and follows His Word. There is a myth out there that we can cleave to the Creator and not obeying what He tells us to do. As Moses spoke about God's statutes, in verse 6, he went on to tell the brethren there, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of nations." All the nations in that part of the world knew exactly what happened to Egypt and who caused it. This is why they were so fearful. The Edomites would not let Israel travel the king's road when they first come out of Egypt because they feared them. It ultimately led to their destruction, even though Israel promised not to step off that road, that they would pay for everything that they may have taken, including water. Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 tells us that God's Word has the potential to make us wise unto salvation. But how do people show true wisdom? Proverbs 99 and verse 10 reminds us that reverent fear is the beginning of wisdom. Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus says that the person who hears his word and then goes and does them is like a wise man that builds his house upon the rock. You see where all this kind of is heading into one lump sum? God's word. The fear of God and our obedience to Him. Our wisdom comes from God's word. Wise people carry out in their lives those things that they learn. But we ask the question, are we acting wisely or foolishly? We use a term oftentimes about due diligence. But we never really contemplate what we are saying when we say we need to use due diligence. Verse 9, Deuteronomy 4 tells us there that only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Due diligence. Lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. At least twice more in this chapter, we read that God exhorted His people to take heed unto themselves. In verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. Verse 23, take heed unto yourselves lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. When God tells His people to take heed, we hopefully know what He means by this. It means take heed. Wake up. Don't forget. It's hard to imagine a people so close to seeing the power of God over the Egyptians that they would think God would take them out into the desert or take them into the wilderness and forsake them and allow them to die. When they didn't have bread, God provided manna. When they wanted meat, God provided quails. Now, there can be earthly explanations for this. Manna comes from the sap of a plant. And it is still found today in certain parts of the world in the desert. And it occurs first thing in the morning. And it's on the grass. It's on the ground. And God told them, go and pick up what you can eat during the day, you and your family. You see, if it's properly sealed in a jar, it lasts. It's an MRE, I'm sorry. It doesn't have a shelf life. Only air causes it to spoil. Where they were traveling was a migratory path for birds who would go north for the winter. And when they would fly over that body of water, they would land at a point to where you could actually capture them by hand because they were so tired. You think it was by chance that God led them at this time to that point? He wouldn't have the means to take care of them? They forgot. And God, at this point, and Moses was reminding them, please don't forget what I've done for you. When you come up out of that watery grave in your baptism, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't take it for granted. He wants us to keep these things in our hearts all the days of our lives. The final principle here along with this is that God wants us to teach. We are all teachers. This is, of all these principles, a big one. Maybe not more important than the others, but just as important. God didn't want them to just sit on this and think in their minds and remember it. He wanted them to pass it along. Verse 9, it says, teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Parents instructing their children from God's word. Grandparents teaching their grandchildren God's truth. It's a precious thought. The world seems to come to the conclusion that we can show our supreme love to our children by showering them things with things, showering their lives with material things, that we give them everything and anything they want and ask for. But that's not the supreme love. The showing and the teaching takes two forms. Informing them what the Bible says and then being that godly example for them. You may not share my sentiments, but I love the message that Deuteronomy 4 brings to light. And I personally am convinced that it gives us a formula for a spiritual success, a guarantee to the home in heaven. And isn't that what is truly important in our lives today? These words, listen and leave and cleave, be wise, diligence, teach. They provide the potential for a whole lot of learning for those who meditate upon and apply these truths in their very lives. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that for our children, for ourselves? That's in our hearts. We're going to succeed. We're going to succeed. Have you been added to the Lord's church? If you haven't been added to the Lord's church, why do you wait? Several years ago, someone asked me, how much does it cost to join the Lord's church? First, I thought they were kidding. I kind of chuckled, and then I realized they were serious. I said, you don't have enough money to buy your way into heaven. But it does cost an awful lot. You have to sacrifice the old self and gain a new self. They've never been back. I don't want that to happen to you. If you're not a child of God, God gave us His plan. We're not adding to, we're not taking away, we're just trying to use the whole plan as He designed it and created it for our benefit. To believe is more than just to believe in the existence of God. It believes and knows that He is true. And God tells us if we know these things are true, that we have to repent. And that in a public way, we must confess our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before men. And that we must be baptized for the remission of sins. That's not adding to or taking away. That is just doing exactly what God said. If that is your desire this morning, we want to give you that opportunity to be added to His church through your baptism for the remission of your sins. And join the heavenly roll. Let the angels rejoice this day. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you have messed up on the recipe, and you need to follow that recipe again. You need to make things right with God. You've turned your back on Him. You've considered success in the world to be more important than success in your spiritual life. Maybe you've done things you're not proud of, and you need to repent of those things. And maybe you just are struggling with life itself, and you need prayers of the congregation. If you have a need this morning, we want to give you the opportunity to come as we stand and we sing.